Hi, I'm your host, Melody. Welcome to the Arizona Area Sponsorship Workshop. This workshop is hosted by the Arizona Area of Al-Anon, and our intention is to make sponsorship more accessible and less mysterious to all Al-Anon members. We'll open with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. I've asked AJ to read a portion of the bookmark, Sponsorship, Working Together to Recover, M78.
Sponsorship is a relationship built on equality, anonymity, and trust, an opportunity for growth for both the sponsee and the sponsor, a benefit at any stage of recovery, a commitment to practice healthy communication not based on intimidation or demands, an agreement to recover and grow together, not to struggle in isolation, an opportunity for self-discovery, not a teacher-pupil relationship, an experience based on unconditional love, not shame or judgment, a spiritual relationship with no strings attached, a one-on-one relationship, not an exclusive club, a bond focused on Al-Anon's four primary ideas. We are powerless over the problem of alcoholism. We can turn our lives over to the power greater than ourselves. We need to change both our attitude and our actions. We keep Al-Anon's gifts by sharing them with others. Thank you.
Thank you, AJ. Today we will be exploring segment 8, What Comes Next. We will be talking about traditions, concepts, working the steps again, studying literature, evaluating or ending a sponsorship relationship. We will now hear from our speakers. They are Anna, Juanita, Claudia, Rick, Kay, and Claire.
So tonight, it so fits to talk about what comes next. And what we're referring to is, what do you do when you've got this sponsee and she's finished the steps? And I couldn't find anything in the literature, so I guess you could just throw them away. That's one option. But I think maybe the best thing is just start talking about what they want to do. Sometimes I get sort of confused about whose program it is, and I think it's really important for me to put that aside, my I know best disease. Put it aside and talk to them about the benefits, the different benefits, the challenges of doing different things. But I'm going to start with the last question, which is evaluating or ending a sponsorship relationship. For me, it's really important to talk about what the relationship looks like, because sometimes it just looks different depending on which side of the screen you're on. So I do sort of an inventory. That's actually really what it is. And for me, I want to think about how I feel when the phone rings and that sponsee's name is on it. And I really like to be happy when that happens. If I'm not happy, I need to look at what's going on with me. Is it that my life is out of control, that I'm too busy, that she irritated me because she questioned my brilliance, or, you know, what is it? Do I have to look at something that's going on with me? Or is there a problem or a challenge with the relationship? Sponsorship is so intimate, and sponsorship is where I learned how to do relationships. Sponsorship is where I learned about unconditional love. And I still want to put conditions on. I spent a whole lot of years thinking that I would be happy if you loved me, and I would be able to love you if you acted better, spoke more quietly or more loudly, or stood up for yourself or didn't, or whatever. And it still creeps in sometimes. So first I look at, what does this relationship mean to me? I remember when my dad died, I went and told my higher power what to do, which I still do sometimes, but I was doing it a lot then. And I asked him if he could possibly send me some more sponsees, because while my parents were in hospice, I had cut back on the amount of work I was doing, service work I was doing. So that week, it was very bizarre. That week, three people asked me to sponsor them, and I didn't know what was going on. But that didn't work for me. I said no to those three people. And I was driving away from the third meeting and thinking, wow, higher power, am I saying no to the people that you're sending me? And I told a friend about that, and she looked at me and she said, Claudia, those people deserve to have sponsors that really, really like them. And I had never thought that it might be about them. Who knew? So this inventory is an opportunity to make things right in the sponsorship relationship. We talk about if we can still be honest with each other, if we're still really talking about what's going on, if we enjoy the time we spend together. Because if I'm not having fun with my sponsor, I'm doing something wrong. So that's one of the first things I do after we celebrate. Finishing the steps, especially the first time around, is such a big deal. And I want to make sure that my sponsees understand exactly how big it is, how important it is. For many people, it's the biggest accomplishment of their life. They've put a year or two or 10 into the work they've done, and they've changed. So I try to share a meal with them, which has been tough lately, and just talk about it. Who was that person that you started working with whenever? And what were they like before they went through the steps this time? It's really important. The traditions, the concepts, working the steps again, studying literature, they're all great choices depending on the wants and needs of the sponsee that I'm working with. If somebody's interested in service and they want to know what they're doing, I might start them off with the service manual. I mean, we'll talk about it, or the traditions, and then go to the concepts. But maybe they're not ready. Maybe they fall asleep in business meetings. They might not be a good candidate for the service manual. So the pamphlets are awesome. I went and to the bookstore a couple years ago, and I got two sets of all of the pamphlets. And I got about halfway through before I lost interest. But they're awesome. They're phenomenal pieces of literature. And half the pamphlets took quite a while. Right now I'm working on Many Voices, One Journey. And I just want to tell you, if you think, well, I already read that. I already read Many Voices, One Journey. And I really liked it. I loved the stories. I loved the history. I underlined and I took notes. And so I knew it all. And then I started working with my sponsor on Many Voices, One Journey about a few months ago. And it's a different book. It's completely different because I'm sitting there with somebody who knows more than I do about what that history was like, what it was like to be at that conference and so on. So working with somebody just brings a new depth to all of the literature. I also encourage sponsees, especially once they've completed the steps, but hopefully before that, to start reading the literature like from cover to cover. When I read it a few years ago, I just put it in my rotation of readings in the morning and I'd read a few pages from whatever book I chose. And so I read all of the literature through like a couple times because that's what I do. When I do the traditions, I love this. The first thing I do when I start a sponsee with either the traditions or the concepts is I spend like an hour and a half with the traditions first. And I go through each one and I talk about each tradition and then I'll ask them, how do you think that might apply at home? How do you think that might apply at work? And that way they get an overview and maybe an idea of how they all fit together. And I do the same thing with the concepts. By the time somebody's through the steps, they have mostly an idea of the traditions, but sometimes the concepts is like in Greek or East Asian or whatever. So it's a lot of fun. On traditions, we choose a book together. Usually it's going to be Paths, Reaching for Personal Freedom, How Al-Anon Works, and we'll read it paragraph by paragraph, and the stories that come up are just wonderful. And I try to focus on the spiritual principles in each one. I know that on any given tradition, everybody has a different idea of what it is and what it means to honor it and what it means to violate it. Although a friend of mine says that the traditions are suggestions and how do you violate a suggestion? And I kind of like that. But it's easy for most people I know, including me, to get confused about a tradition and what it means, or a concept and what it means. But if we start by talking about what's the spiritual principles that are involved here, it's a lot easier for me to understand a decision I might make if somebody says, well, is what you're thinking of doing based on love and based on freedom and based on inclusion? Then is it based on concept 4 or tradition 3? So I really like that, and I think it helps everybody, including me, get more familiar with what the traditions and the concepts really mean. I always ask them, like I did with the steps, to start by defining every word and reading all the kale on everything and just taking notes about particular quotes that really struck them and writing about what that means to them. The service manual is phenomenal for me, and I haven't had a sponsee so far that was relatively new in the program that really wanted to study the service manual. And I haven't had one sponsee that studied the service manual that didn't enjoy it, didn't have a lot of fun with it. How about you? But when I walk into a business meeting, whether it's a group business meeting or an assembly or a World Service Conference, I take every single one of my character defects with me. And I haven't always learned that I can't protect Al-Anon by violating the spiritual principles, you know? So if somebody's character defect comes in up in a service meeting, and it often does, I want to fight back using my character defects. And when I read the service manual and when I read it with a sponsee, I start learning that answering a defect with a defect generally doesn't work. That I can learn to answer a defect with an asset. That I can start with return an argument with encouragement or with reasoning things out. And it's just tremendous. Our literature is all fabulous, and the history of the literature. I'm lucky enough today to have it sponsored, and we, before we did Many Voices, One Journey, we did the concepts, and we worked through the service manual, the back part of it, the concepts, were sentence by sentence. It was, I loved it. And I remembered once shortly after we had started working together, and I read a paragraph, and I paused, and I said, that's gorgeous. And my sponsor said, yeah, that's original Lois. Who knows that stuff? Who does? I didn't, but I'm learning it. And it's phenomenal when that little old lady that I've heard about and I've seen her picture, when she comes alive in her writings. So I don't know. I get excited about weird stuff, I guess. It's so much fun to open doors for sponsees. It's fun in the steps, sure. But when they're finished with the steps, they're starting to do things in their life a little bit different. They start, their life starts getting generally more manageable. I remember I had one sponsee quite a while ago, and she was working hard and she was working the steps, and her life was falling apart and she was getting indicted, and just, it was not a pretty sight. And she kept saying, why isn't my life getting better? And we talked about it, and I told her what I don't think you're seeing is that you're still cleaning up your past. But the stuff that is getting in your way today and the stuff that is troubling you is old stuff now. You're not adding to it anymore. And after they've been through the steps, they're open for more open doors. And it's, I love it. It's exciting. And I hope you have fun with your sponsees. If you're not having fun with your sponsees, talk about it. Love y'all. Thanks.
Thank you, Claudia. And, next, we'll have in line, unless we have any questions now. We'll move on to our next speaker, Hannah Holloway from Kazakhstan. You're up.
Great, thanks so much. Hi everyone. So I'm Anna Ramona, and I'm in Kazakhstan in Central Asia. And thank you, Claudia, for setting us up. Thank you all for being here, Trevor, all of y'all for the service also. So I was looking back through these questions and then hearing Claudia share, and I've tried to kind of formulate this a few different times and just working to give it to my higher power and figure out, like, okay, what can I share that would be most useful for y'all? And I figured I could share kind of in the framework of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So to give a bit, so this will primarily be from my experience of being a sponsee. So my first sponsor, I met face-to-face years ago, you know, now. So this month is actually my 12-year anniversary in Al-Anon. And I met her in San Antonio, Texas, and at, you know, so my home group there. And it was after just a couple meetings. I had been in and out of Al-Anon over the years before that. But once I was sure that I had found the right spot, it wasn't anything that she said. Instead, it was after a meeting, she gave me a hug, and it was one of those hugs where she didn't let go, and it was exactly what I needed, right? Like, it continued to just hold me, and, like, I can still kind of feel the emotions come out now. And I went ahead and asked her, right, to if she would be my sponsor. And she was my sponsor for a while. We worked the steps. We did it in such a way that it never felt overwhelming because we met regularly. And it was, so like the fourth step that instead of, I know some people will go fully through a fourth step and then meet with their sponsor. Instead, after reading, you know, the, you know, the blue book and then the blueprint for progress part by part, we would meet after each individual topic, or some of the topics were so in depth and taking so much emotional context for me to get through that we ended up meeting after, you know, just a week, just whatever it was that I had answered and wherever I was, and getting that feedback and not having an extraordinary amount of time to be in my own head was always useful. And then so, like, I still remember the kind of feedback where she's like, oh, right, like, today, it seems like you were really down on yourself, right? Those responses, right? Everything seems really negative. Let's move back. And then other times she'd say, oh, wow, you seem really positive. And, you know, maybe a little bit blinded that way. So I worked with her for a while and all through the steps. And then, you know, answering then this last question about ending a sponsorship relationship, I became pregnant with my first child. And we both realized independently that, you know, she didn't have any children of her own, and I was going through all of these new fears, I guess, right, of becoming a mother and what would that mean, especially in the disease of alcoholism. And we both decided that it would be best, right, for me to find somebody else that had gone through similar experiences. And so it was a very easy transition. We're still friends. We're still in touch. It was guided, right, by some other higher or universal spirit. And my next sponsor that I found, it was her sharing in particular about the traditions that spoke to me. And so she talked about these traditions that in general in many meetings we hadn't talked about before, or hadn't talked about how they related to our lives. I had been so focused on the steps, right? So focused on the steps that going beyond that into something else was definitely new. And so she would talk about the traditions, and she would talk about living with an active alcoholic. And she was, seemed serene, right? Like it's, and so that definitely spoke to me and encouraged me to talk to her, right? Like, how could that be possible, right? You've been living for years with an active alcoholic. And for me, I was living with somebody who was in program, right? So he was in his own program, I was in mine, and yet I wasn't feeling very serene. And yet here, she had active alcoholism and yet was serene. And so, or appeared serene. So she agreed to be my sponsor. Our relationship evolved in, instead of meeting face-to-face, we often texted. And at that point, it was, so I didn't text a lot at that point, right? So maybe this was 9 years ago. And so there were times I was kind of craving to meet with her more, but our schedules, as it turned out, right, like where she lived in town, where I did, having a new child, it ended up being easier texting. And what I see now is it also laid the groundwork for me to be able to move across the world, right? So now one of the main things when I thought about in moving to Kazakhstan and moving to Asia was how would I maintain my program when there aren't any meetings around, right, in the country, or no English-speaking ones. English, you know, there is one about 3,000 miles away that's in Russian or in Kazakh, but that wasn't going to do it for me when I was before going to meetings every day. And so texting with my sponsor all those years before, it was then just a way that whenever anything came up, so this was after the steps, right? So I'd finished the steps as a first sponsor. I worked with her through other steps, and sometimes I would respond over text. Sometimes we would call each other, sometimes meet. But in particular, it was a daily maintenance, right? And it wasn't that she said, oh, you have to contact me every day, right? Or you have to do it in this way. And instead, it very much was allowing me to find what worked for me, right? That for so many years and growing up in this disease, the old stories and that still that I tell myself are these supposed to's, right? Like I'm supposed to do, you know, sponsorship like this. I'm supposed to be the sponsee like this. I'm supposed to do my program like that. And there's not one way. And she has given me, and so I'm still working with her, she has given me that freedom and that encouragement that worked for me. and what through her experience, strength and hope. And so I still reached out before this meeting, right, to touch base, and I reached out last night before I went to bed, and so for me it's 8:30 in the morning, so a little bit of context, and I asked about working through the traditions, and so we worked through them with Paths to Recovery, and so just, you know, page by page reading through them. And also then reading through the daily readers. So Courage to Change, Hope for Today, One Day at a Time, and looking through absolutely, all right, each reading on tradition one. Okay, go ahead, right? What can you find on tradition one? And then any kind of journaling and feedback on that, and how does it respond? How am I responding to it in my own life? And let's see, I'm checking my time. Okay. And so working through those traditions really continues to help me see my own life in a different way, right, today. And like if I flip back to thinking that, so in a lot of the face-to-face meetings, right, we'd read through the steps and then maybe the tradition of the month and then maybe the concept of the month. And they never made sense at that time, right? At the beginning, they didn't make sense. And whereas today, when I hear the tradition, the concept of the month, I'm so drawn to them, right? Where it's like, oh, yes, right? Like, that's exactly what I need to hear, right? That almost, it's like, okay, yep, the steps. So maybe I'm ignoring the steps now, maybe too much, or maybe that's just where I am, right? That instead, it's the tradition and the concepts. And so the concepts I haven't worked through in a meticulous, systematic manner. And so I see that for myself as a next step for me that I would like to work through and see what are, you know, what kinds of questions does the Path to Recovery have, and what are our readings in our daily readers and on other texts, right? So as we've heard, there's not kind of a systematic way that our literature describes what are these next steps. But I'm finding myself drawn to them, which, you know, as I listen to myself, just as listening to my sponsee or my sponsor, it allows me to, I guess, I imagine kind of like a, maybe it's a tree or a timeline, something, right, that I'm connected to a program, my sponsor's connected to a program, her sponsor's connected to a program, and so it grows through all of us. And it makes us, it feels like it makes me stronger. So, one of the other questions, right, mentions about service sponsorship. And when I saw that, so that was something I think I first heard about at one of the conferences, right? So whether it was a statewide or the citywide conferences where we talked about service sponsorship. And one thing that has also stood out to me, so there's service sponsorship, and I heard in a share, or maybe it was even in one of our readers, but I think it was a share, somebody mentioned about having a fun sponsor, and that they felt like that growing up in the disease of alcoholism, that they forgot how to have fun. And this is something that I have been looking at this fun sponsorship, and I haven't found that one person to have the fun sponsor. And I think that it may be a scenario of a reciprocal kind of nature. So I have found through some phone meetings and through other online meetings, people that I'm sharing now, that me and other people are, you know, at the end of the day, sharing ways that we're taking care of ourselves, which often are something about fun, right? That we're taking a few minutes to watch something that makes us laugh, right? Or, you know, take ourselves less seriously. Or if I take a moment and I'm outside with my kids, oh, did I lose you? Let's see. Oh, no. Okay, good. My computer did something funny. Good. And skip, right? Like, even just for like 1 minute, just skipping. That is such a powerful moment for me where I'm allowing myself to have fun. And that's then a type of sponsorship that I see that is, this is where I am now and what I see as an encouragement for others, right, as well. That, and I guess it's just something that I see that I would like to continue to work on, or that I've put it out there, right, for my higher power. Again, this is the what comes next, right? That I'm allowed, so not only, you know, so the tradition's going to tell me that I'm allowed to have a voice. I'm allowed to have an opinion. I'm allowed to take up space. And I'm allowed to think differently than other people. I'm allowed to have my own higher power. I'm allowed, then as I go beyond that into traditions, right, that amongst other people, right, other people are also allowed to have their opinion and to take up space and their own views. And so the traditions then teach me about how to move that from myself into other people. And so with that, then again, I'm going back to this fun side, right? That I'm allowed to have fun, right? That it doesn't have to, that for me, that program can be incredibly serious, right? You work these steps and it's this very intensive kind of analysis or opening up and very important things for myself. And sometimes when my mind thinks about it as, well, it's kind of like a, reminds me of times when I've been to therapy, right? Like these are things that are deep, and yet these deep things can also be lighthearted, right? The things that need to come up can be buoyant, can be, you know, the new metaphors for myself of, you know, the coming into program and it, originally somebody talking about their time and program as being like a carousel, slightly up and down and moving in a circle. And at that time, I hated that idea because it sounded so boring, right? I wanted the roller coaster. I wanted the highs and I wanted the lows. But even in these metaphors, right, that was about going to a place that's fun, right? You're going to an amusement park, right? So life, if life is like this amusement park, I heard recently about the roller coaster. Maybe life is still like a roller coaster, right? All of a sudden we've hit, you know, this wacky virus, right? Like these are some big highs and lows, but I can be, you know, it's on a guided track, right? That like my higher power has it all guided, right? Like it's okay. There's highs and lows and I'm held throughout this time. And so as I keep moving then through this program, and into then, right, I'm excited about, you know, the concepts and continuing to look for this fun and, you know, and this able to see more opportunities, even though sometimes when I hear the word opportunities, I think, oh, look, you have an opportunity for more work, right? Like they say that at my workplace, look, you have an opportunity to lead. But these, it's different in program, right, that this opportunity is like, it's a chance to grow. It's a chance to grow whether, like, do you see the concrete outside and you see the little, like, the survival bloom? I have a chance to survive and to thrive, and I love doing that alongside all of you. So thank you very much. Can I pass?
Awesome. Thank you so much. Can everybody get a thumbs up for our first two? Thank you. Thank you both so much. Do we have any questions here at this point? Be sure to send them in to Melody so we can all answer. Good job, and thank you for getting up to join us today, Anna. All right, so next in line for us is Juanita, which I understand she's on a little different time zone for us, and it's a little later, so we appreciate you waiting to be last, and you're up.
Thanks, Trevor. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much, Claudia and Anna. Really appreciate that. My name is Juanita, and I'm a very grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon, and it's nice to be with you. So I didn't get a sponsor until I had 2 years in Al-Anon. I was the kind of person who felt I don't need anybody. I don't need any help. I got this. Thank you very much. And so the day came when I reached this place where I felt absolutely desperate, My husband and I have been sober for 2 years in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'd always said that if he just got sober, I'd be okay. And he was sober, and I was not okay. In fact, I felt worse after 2 years of his being sober than I did during the whole time he was drinking. And that's when I got my sponsor. So you start to get a picture of who I am. And I'm a go-at-it-by-myself kind of person. So when I finally did get this sponsor, she started taking me through the 12 steps. And I'm so grateful. And we got up through the seventh step, and I showed up at her house one day, and she said, we sat there talking for a while, and she said, you know, she says, it's time for you to get a different sponsor. And I thought, what? And she says, it's time for you to get a different sponsor. She says, I think our relationship has gone as far as it could go. That came out of the blue. I could not believe I was hearing this from her. And I said, okay. And, she, you know, she said, you know, you just look in the rooms and see who you want to have as a sponsor, who you can relate to. And I went to meetings, and I didn't hear anybody who was talking about doing steps. And I just kept showing up at her house for the next 2 months. I just kept showing up. I'd be knocking on her door, and she'd be, finally after 2 months, she said, you really have to find another sponsor. I can't do this with you. And my whole thinking had been, I am not going to find another person. I'm not going to tell everything about me to one more person. You know it all. I'll be darned and not doing it. And that day, she said, I've only worked up through step 7. I have not gone on, you know, and worked, you know, 8 on through. She says, you really need somebody who can help you with that. And I'm so grateful that she didn't try to take me through something that she had never done before. And I think, for no other reason, I am so grateful to her for that. But I will tell you that 30 years later now, I am still using some of the jewels and the gems that she has given me from those first about two years that I worked with her. Today, July 2nd, is my 34th anniversary of being in Al-Anon. I walked into the doors, and so awesome. I walked into the doors of Al-Anon 34 years ago, and, you know, what a gift to be able to do this in my 34-year anniversary. So what that first sponsor said to me was, I have a commitment. She says, I want to make a commitment to you. She says, and because I'm going to make a commitment to you, I expect you to make a commitment to me. And so she laid out the requirements of what she required from me if she was going to sponsor me. And she says, Al-Anon doesn't have these requirements on you. She says, but I as a sponsor have these requirements. And she says, and this is what we will do. And she says, in making this and you agreeing to this, we have a commitment. And she says, and I expect you to honor that. And by that, she says, I will honor my commitment to you. And so she gave me her time. She gave me her time. She gave me her wisdom. She took me through those first 7 steps. Well, I was about a year without a sponsor. And I nearly killed my family because my husband was driving up a mountain, and he wasn't listening to me. He said the same thing again, wanting to convince me about something I thought it was about 50th time that he'd done this, and I grabbed hold of the steering wheel and yanked on it. And he stopped the car, and if he hadn't been holding on to that steering wheel as tightly as he was, he would have gone over the embankment. We wouldn't be there. And my daughter was yelling in the back seat, and he was saying, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And everybody was upset. And the next morning, I sat in quiet and prayer and meditation, and I thought, what is wrong with me? And it became very clear to me, because what came to me was, you quit working those steps. And I started to seriously look for a sponsor, and I found one, and I've had this woman now for over 30 years. She continues to be my sponsor. Now, I'm not just a little non-traditional Al-Anon. I'm probably very non-traditional in that this woman who I've had as a sponsor is a member of Alcoholics Anonymous as well as a member of Al-Anon. So in that, I'm a little different. She was the only person that I could find way back then who was talking about those steps and that I thought might be able to help me. Now, she moved away. She moved away from where I was living and moved to Maine. And she had to move. Her mother had broken her hip and she had to move. And I felt absolutely devastated because she gave me this information about 2 weeks after I'd asked her to sponsor me. And I felt abandoned. And one of the things that happened was a few days after I'd asked her to sponsor me and she agreed, my youngest daughter, who was then 12, attempted suicide. And so I felt like she was leaving me alone with the unknown. And the crazy thing is that my husband was also being sponsored by her. And now what's interesting about this is that she said, this will be very good and this will be very interesting because I get to hear both sides of the story. She says, I'll hear your side and I'll hear his side. And the truth, as I've come to discover it, is always somewhere in the middle. And I've taken that wisdom and I've applied it with my sponsees because when I meet with them, I know that they're presenting themselves in the very best light they possibly can. So I know that the truth is always somewhere in the middle. So that's a little background for you. And what I really want to say here is that I have requirements for my sponsees because I really believe this is a commitment. And because I lay out the requirements before they agree to honor my requirements and I agree to give them my time and my attention, is that if they don't follow through, then that tells me they're not willing to do this stuff. Like I've had to sit down and talk to people and say, you know, you agreed to go to 3 meetings a week and you're not going to any meetings or you're only going to 1 meeting a week. You agreed that you would take on some kind of service. And by that, I don't mean service in that you will be a GR, you will do these things. I'm talking about just, will you welcome a newcomer? Will you put up the chairs? Will you put out the literature? Will you do some little piece of service? And the reason is, I think this is so important because if they're not doing something, they will leave. From my experience, if I hadn't taken on some kind of service, I would not have stayed here. Doing service work kept me in the room because I was needed. I had a commitment and I had to honor my commitment. So if they don't honor their commitments, we have a talk. And sometimes the relationship has fallen away and sometimes they have gone, oh my gosh, you're right. And they've agreed to do it and they do what I've asked. And what's so important about this is that if I don't stick and honor the fact that I've laid out these commitments for them and I don't hold them accountable, what I'm saying is I don't mean what I say. I don't mean what I say. And you don't have to do this. You see, I'm the kind of person who feels I don't let my sponsees dictate what goes on in the relationship. They came to me. Now, that doesn't mean that I think I'm more important than them. We walk this shoulder to shoulder. We hold hands, and I tell them, I will walk through hell with you, and I will hold your hand every step of the way, but I will not carry you one step of the way at all. And I don't. So I set the pace. I set the pace in that this is what we will do, and that we will work these steps. Now, they set their own pace in terms of how long it takes them to work the steps. And I think that's very important. I was told a long time ago, I should meet them where they are at. They shouldn't meet me where I'm at. I need to meet them where they are at. And I used to be the kind of sponsor that was very cookie cutter. We would do it this way, and I do this way with everybody. And it's like they could talk to each other if they knew each other, and they go, yeah, I'm doing this with my sponsor. Oh, we did it that way. We did it. Yeah, I get it. Today, I don't do it the same way because every person is different, and everybody needs something different. I have, what else do I want to say here? So one of the things that I think is so important and is the main purpose of sponsorship is to take someone through the steps. So once we have gone through the steps once, my experience is that I know when I need to work the steps again, because I have this feeling deep within me where one more time, I am not okay. Deep within me, I feel this sense of something is missing. I don't go to bed at night at peace. I just don't feel comfortable within my own self. And so that tells me I need to work the steps. And so when my sponsees start talking to me about the same thing over and over again, I start to ask them questions about what's going on with them. Are you okay? Are you trying to have power here? What's going on with you? Is your life unmanageable? And so they know at that point that they need to work those steps again. So it's kind of like I don't have to be on top of them. They know, just like I know, because of the way that I feel within. Now, one of the things that I've done with them is that not all of them are ready for traditions or concepts after we work the steps. Not all of them are suited to service work where they're going to serve their area or anything like that. Some of them are really happy just sticking to little things of service work, like continuing to share at meetings, to be a secretary at meetings, to chair a home group meeting, to put out the literature, to greet the newcomer, to put up the chairs. They're very comfortable in that, and that's where they choose to stay. And to me, I don't care. As long as they're doing something, I'm okay with that. But I do believe that this program is about having a three parts to it, which is the fellowship, going to meetings, the steps, which is recovery, and service, which is, you know, doing something to give back. And so the ones that I do start doing traditions and concepts with, I've always used Path to Recovery because I think that it was so clear. And when the book called Reaching for Personal Freedom came out, I loved that one. And so I started using that as well. But we use both of them in doing traditions and concepts. Now, my sponsor, who I've had, as I mentioned, for 30 years, we've worked the traditions together. We've worked the traditions together as they were put in Path to Recovery. And we've worked them from a specific point of my personal life. One of the things that I like to do with the concepts, especially with people, because nobody gets the concepts. The concepts just kind of like go over people's heads and they're like, what? Administrative? What are you talking about? All the words in there, I have no idea what they are. So I like to take them through and ask them things like, just for instance, Concept 1 says the ultimate responsibility and authority for Al-Anon World Services belongs to the Al-Anon groups. I ask them questions like, is God the ultimate authority in your life? That kind of stuff. I like to put God into it and say, are you going to God? Is God the ultimate authority or are you being the ultimate authority? So that's the kind of things I like to do with people, and I do that with them whether or not whatever level of service they are. We do that kind of thing specifically because I think it's all about God, as I understand God, higher power, however you want to call it. So literature, I am really bad about studying our literature. I am really, really bad. I don't want to say this, but the truth is I am. So I go to meetings where they're studying the literature, and I tell my sponsees to go to meetings where they study the literature because I am so bad at it. And I know I'm so bad at it because what I do with my sponsees really is step work. Because I think there's always more to be seen about who I am and who they are so that they really get to know each other, know themselves. It's taken me all this time to really, really grasp the nuances because this disease gets more subtle. I no longer do it as overtly as I used to, but I do them in a much more subtler way. So I'm constantly looking for those things in my life that I'm doing, but they're little. And I wouldn't have even thought that it was something to pay attention to. my time is up, so I'm going to stop there, and thanks.
Thank you, Juanita, and to all of our speakers tonight.
Terrific. Thank you so much for inviting me to participate. I'm delighted to be a part of this. I think sponsorship is such an important part of our program, and I'm really glad to be able to share some of my experience, strength, and hope today. So thank you again for asking me. The first question that we were looking at in what's next after we take somebody through the steps or we work through the steps is, do you move into the traditions and the concepts? For me personally, I've had the opportunity to work the traditions and the concepts several times. I've used the book Paths to Recovery in doing so, and right now just happen to be working through both of those and finishing them up to the new book of Reaching for Personal Freedom. It's fairly new compared to Paths to Recovery. So I think it's important for my own recovery to keep doing that, because the more that I practice these program principles, the more I learn about myself and grow. With my sponsees, when they get done working the steps, I encourage them to do the traditions and the concepts. I'd love to tell you that they all enthusiastically jump in and say, oh, yay, let's go do that. But that's not what happens. Luckily today, everyone that I sponsor has made it through the steps. Most of them have made it through the traditions. I've had two that have made it through the concepts. So concepts, they don't usually get there, but at least they're doing something. Now, when we talk about encouraging them to use our conference-approved literature, it talks in here, one of the options was studying the literature. My way of sponsoring my folks is to introduce them to a lot of our literature, because I find that many of our members, at least in my area, they don't venture out too much from the three daily readers, The Courage to Change, One Day at a Time, Hope for Today, and How Al-Anon Works. Those are the four books that they seem to use a lot in their program, in our meetings, for topic discussion, and I find that to be very sad. We have over 20 books in Al-Anon, and that doesn't include all the books that are out of print, the Alateen books, the brochures, the pamphlets, the public outreach materials, your forum magazines, so much information out there that we could be gleaning fabulous pearls of wisdom every single day with a new perspective, and yet, I don't know, some of us seem to be stuck. And so I try to get my sponsees not to get stuck, because why do you want to be stuck? If you came to Al-Anon to grow, why not grow? Well, you can only grow if, for me, I just speak for me, if I'm learning something I don't already know, if I'm expanding. And I get that expansion by finding new things to learn and read about. So when I sponsor somebody, I warn them ahead of time that they're going to have to work. I have had some people ask me and then hear what I'm going to ask them to do and say, wow, that looks like that's really hard. I don't think I want you to be my sponsor. And they've gone away. And that's okay. But the ones that have decided to sponsor me, I sponsor them the way that I was brought up in the program. I have them first look at the readers. So if we're going to do steps, traditions, or concepts, I'm going to ask them to look at their readers. Hopefully they have at least two. Maybe they'll have all three. And if we're doing tradition one, they're going to have to read everything about tradition one and all three readers. After they do that, I'm going to ask them to write notes. Write down what spoke to you. Pick out the pages. Underline something. Some of them keep a journal. Then I send them to Paths to Recovery and How Al-Anon Works. And I have them write what they've read there about tradition one. After they've done all that reading, we get together and talk about it. It allows them to get a full, live picture of what tradition one is all about. It's not just from one Al-Anon source. And then at that point, I ask them to do the questions in Paths to Recovery. I do ask my sponsees to write them out. I've written them out every time I've done it. I find that it's magic when you put pen to paper. Something happens. I have had some of my sponsees balk and say, hey, I don't want to have to write it out. That's a lot of work. Well, it is a lot of work. But here's what happens. I have found with most of them, once they have to write it down, they think about it a little bit more than if I'm sitting across the table and they're just spouting something off the top of their head. It helps them to really put down something concise, and it helps them have those revelations that they may not have had if they didn't actually have to write it down and record it. The other thing I find is when they write it down, it becomes a tool for them going forward. If I can get them motivated, and we all know I can't get anybody motivated. You have to motivate yourself. But as a sponsor, I try to be a cheerleader. If they're motivated to work the steps again, to work the traditions again, to work the concepts again, they can always go back to their previous working through those legacies and learn more about where they were, where they are now, and see their own growth. What a fabulous tool. So I do ask them to do it. Now, have all of them done it? No, because there are no rules in Al-Anon. So the ones that just can't get that pen to the paper, yes, we sit across the table. I let them do that. You know, I let them because it's their program. I don't manage their program. They have to manage it. And if that's the best way that they can do it, I need to respect that because every sponsee is different. And I've learned that over the time that I've been doing this. We talk about working the steps again. I have worked the steps many times. One of the things I've tried to do is each time that I rework the steps, I do my step four in a different way. And again, why do I do that? Because there's lots of ways to do it. If we look at past recovery, there are so many different options. So one of the things I did, page 44 in my past recovery, talks about a resentment list. Okay, so I did a resentment list. I've worked the four-step questions in past recovery. I've worked it from reaching for personal freedom. I've done the little blueprint for progress, and most people have probably seen it. We don't see it so much here in our meetings, but this little one, and then there's the great big one, too, which most of you know, it's the giant book. One thing I found is that some of the people in our program thought they were the same book. In my area, they thought the only difference was the size of the print. The little one was little print and the big one was big print. And obviously nobody had ever opened up that book. So that made me realize once again, I have to do my part as a sponsor to help my sponsees understand we have a lot of literature, folks. Let's look at it. The small blueprint only covers 6 topics. The big one covers 24. That's a big difference. So I've worked a 4-step through all of those methods simply because I want to grow. And I also want to be able to say to my sponsees, hey, I want to work it out of this book. I want to be able to answer. I've done it that way. Let me tell you what I can if you have any questions as you're working through. I can't give away what I don't have. So if I haven't worked it that way, I can't share it with you. So going on to the next thing, which is studying the literature in depth personally, I decided a while back to make a goal of creating a separate step study book, tradition study book, and concept study book just for me. And what I did was I pulled every piece of literature I had of Al-Anon, and I have all the books, including the ones that are out of print, can't get anymore. And I went through and read everything on every single legacy. So every step, every tradition, every concept. And as I did that, I pulled the pearls of wisdom that I loved the most from those particular books, and I put them in one place, and I made them my study books. So I now have a study step book. I have a study step book that I can use if someone asks me to come speak to their group for a month on the steps. I can take my book, this is what these steps mean to me. Now, if I work with sponsees, I encourage them to do the same thing and make their own book. It won't look like mine, and that's okay. And I find over time my book expands, and now I'm having little pages put in there because I found new things that showed up on the pages that were never there before. Maybe some of you can relate. You read the book and you wonder when they revised page 52. This was never on page 52. How did that happen? Well, you know, welcome to Al-Anon Growth. At least that's my experience. So I think that's important. I also encourage my sponsees not to use the 3 daily meters and the How Al-Anon Work as a topic in every single meeting they chair. I ask them to bring in other literature because if I ask them to do that and they follow that as a suggestion, more people are going to see that literature and so are my sponsees. I will give out new books when they come out. I frequently purchase them for my sponsees so they get a copy of our newest Al-Anon Conference Approved Literature. And then if they have an anniversary / birthday in Al-Anon, that might be what they get as a gift from me. I'm the literature person because I want them to be reading our stuff. It is awesome. Why do I not want to give that to my sponsees? Jumping into service sponsorship, that's my next topic. Yes, yes, yes. I've done a ton of service in our program, as I'm sure a lot of you on this call today have, because I recognize a lot of the faces. I've done every position at the group level. I've done district service. I've done area service. I've been privileged to work on some committees with the World Service Office. If you have experience to share, why would you not want to share it? We talk about building a recovery program. And I understand that for me to keep what I have to give it to you or to somebody. Well, if I have all this knowledge, why wouldn't I offer to help you if you would like my help? No, I say, if you want my help. Not everybody wants a service sponsorship, but I have made it clear that to my sponsees, I will help them. And to people I don't sponsor, I'll help them too. It helps me to help us continue to grow our future leaders, trusted servants, if you will, in our program. And I think it's important. So I also ask my sponsees to do that. The last part of our topic is evaluating or ending a sponsorship relationship. This was hard. When I came into the program, I thought everybody was going to stay with me forever. If I sponsored you, you'd be with me forever. Boy, I learned that's not true. And it was just read in the little bookmark that if someone moves on, it's not a failure. Maybe we just moved in two different directions, or maybe I realized I can't help them the way they need to be helped, and they realized I can't help them either. So I've come to understand my goal is to help them in their recovery, and I tell them going in, if we reach a point where I am no longer helping you, tell me, and I will try to help you, if you'd like, to find a better fit for sponsorship. I've also learned that sometimes people want what I have, but they're not willing to do what I did to get it. I can't give this to anybody through osmosis. I work very hard to have the program I have today, and I continue to do a lot of things day to day in my Al-Anon recovery to keep what I have. So I've learned now I don't spend time with folks that really don't want to do the work. In the past, I've spent a lot of time working sponsees' programs harder than they were working them. And it took a very wise sponsor to tell me, hey, if you're working it harder than they are, maybe it's time for you not to be working together. They need something else. And I've now realized their recovery is their responsibility. So that's how I handle that, and always with no hard feelings and no responsibility of, oh, I have to make it all right so that we can continue to stay together. Sometimes the most loving thing I can do is encourage them to find someone that can really help them get everything they want from this program. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Kay. That was wonderful. Up next is Rick. Please unmute yourself and go for it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rick. Claudia asked me to do this workshop, I said, sure. And then I immediately became an Al-Anon. And I wanted to know more about it. What was expected? What was I supposed to do? How did they do this? And so forth. And I was so, and I didn't even realize as I was going through it, that it was once again my imperfections of wanting to do it right, making sure that I did it the right way. How could I be of service? And it helped me when I recognized that this morning. I thought, well, I'm going to share that because that's one of the reasons a lot of us don't sponsor, and a lot of the reasons that some of us, when we sponsor, are unsure and aren't afraid, or afraid that we're not going to do it right. One of the things that you've taught me in Al-Anon is there is no right. There's no one way to do it. I'm a lot more casual as a sponsor than other people are because that's the way my sponsor was. We didn't have a set time to get together. We didn't meet every week. We didn't necessarily, we did the steps in order, but we didn't necessarily do them with some kind of regulation or requirement that it had to be a certain way. And that's the way that I work with my sponsees. I view sponsorship as a mutual empowerment endeavor. My goal is to try to help you find the program that works for you, and in helping you to find your program, I have the opportunity to improve and strengthen my own program. So it isn't about telling you how to do it, and as Kay said, I can't give you my program, but I can ask you questions, and that's the way my sponsor worked with me. She didn't make statements. She asked questions. Now, sometimes she would say, and even that, I guess, was a question, how's it working for you, Rick? Because I would say, well, I'm doing it, and she'd say, yeah, and how's that working? And, of course, when I would struggle with it, what she would do is say, well, I'm sure you'll figure it out, and she'd hang up. And one of the things that helped me to understand over the years was that she recognized long before I did that she couldn't make it work for me. I had to make the program work for myself. And so as we worked through the steps, it's a journey, it's not a destination. So when I saw the thing about working the steps again, I sort of laughed because in my mind, and I've been in the program almost, I guess it'll be 46 years in September, in my mind, I'm always working the steps. There is no getting to step 12 and that's it. Now, originally I thought that's what would happen. I'd work the 12 steps, I'd graduate, and I wouldn't come back. But I really didn't plan to stay that long anyway. So when it came to the idea, and when I work with my sponsees, what we're trying to do is figure out how the situation that's happening at that moment applies to the steps, and to kind of go back and unravel the behavior that we've become enmeshed in and use the steps or the traditions or the concept in a way that helps. Now, as far as the traditions and the concepts, they're spiritual principles too. We seem to think that those, or I did, they're for somebody else. I thought the traditions, well, you told me they were for the group. So I thought, well, they're boring, and I don't know why we have to talk about them. But when I began to understand what the spiritual principles were around the traditions and what was there and how I could take those principles into my family's life and into my work life, it broadened my understanding. And it helps me to broaden, to give that same kind of awareness to the people that I sponsor. The concepts, the first time I read them, I thought, really? Who cares? But then I realized, again, I thought it was for those people. And then I became one of those people, and I was like, now what? I've got to figure out how to use the concepts and how to make them real. And over the years, I've done a number of workshops using the spiritual principles of the concepts and showing how they build one upon the other. I heard someone say earlier this week that when they tried to work the program horizontally, a step, a tradition, and a concept, they didn't always go together. And I thought, that's because of who we are in Al-Anon. It always has to be a certain way. We don't see the linkage. And that's where a sponsor comes in and helps us to move forward. It helps my sponsor help me move out of black and white thinking. My job as a sponsor is to try to encourage you to move out of black and white thinking. And it's not by telling you how to do it. It's by asking you those questions, by trying to pull the little threads that are holding up this argument that you've constructed to allow you to continue to behave the way you thought it was okay to behave, because it's not working for you. So it's trying really to help empower you in a way that helps you to see, this is holding me back. If I keep holding on to that idea, I'm not going to be able to go forward. So it's really helping us to clear the trash out of the way, those barriers or behaviors that we thought worked for us, try to recognize why we thought they weren't so that we can let them go. And when it comes to studying the literature, I think that using the various pieces of the literature are essential, and I try to model that for my sponsees in the meetings. If you ever go to a meeting that I chaired, it's never from the Daily Readers. I never use the Daily Readers in a meeting. The Daily Readers were written, according to Lois and the Pioneers, for daily self-reflection. They were never intended to be meeting topics. They were intended to be something for us to work on on a daily basis in growing our own program. Can we use them in the meeting? Absolutely, because there are no musts in Al-Anon. But the idea that the literature is something special is something that we've not understood. And when I first came to the program, everybody brought their books to the meeting, and we came ready to work, and we worked with those books. We didn't pull out the Daily Reader and just read the Daily Reader. We had all of the books that were available. Now, remember, 46 years ago, there were only about 4 books available and about 25 pamphlets, and it's certainly expanded since then. But the thing is that it's my job, and when my sponsees are questioning, what am I supposed to do about this, and so forth, I will say to them, well, let's look at this book and see what it has to say about that topic. That's why there are indexes in all the literature, because those are the topics that people are most often asking questions for. And so it helps me to move forward. Now, as the years have progressed, Al-Anon has become more aware of its own spiritual principles. And you'll notice that how Al-Anon works today is much different than it was in 1995. They rewrote the sections on the traditions and added the sections on the concepts to talk about how to use those principles in our personal lives. So to take it out of the paths to recovery more, and here's the way we always thought it was, into a more, and here's how we can use this personally, and to give it more personal strength for us. When my sponsor said to me, you know, Rick, you're getting involved in service. I hate service. I can't help you. I realized I needed to get a service sponsor. And so I began to look around among the people that I was working with, and some of you have heard me tell the story. I was at information service meeting or intergroup in those days, and we were fighting about the guidelines, and I was reminded of it last week at the district meeting here in South Florida when we were going over every detail of every guideline, and I kept thinking, and we're going to spend all this time, and then we're not going to pay any attention to them after we've passed them anyway. But anyway, this woman would get up, and she would read from the handbook when we were struggling. And we all hated her because it would ruin the argument. And she would say, and so finally it dawned on me, wait a minute, that's the answer. And so I would speak up and say, didn't we hear her? And she said to me after the meeting one time, Rick, you have a head for service. Now, it was like, oh. And, of course, you tell an adult child they're good at anything and you can't get them to stop. So I began to really look at the importance of service sponsorship and how service sponsorship can help me move my program from just a personal recovery to a wider recovery, not only for myself, but to see other people in a different way, that they don't have to behave or be the way that I think they should be. And that's helped me a lot in recent months of being able to accept people where they are and not necessarily trying to make them be where I want them to be. Now, that's a little different in the meetings when sometimes we're getting drawn into outside issues. But in our personal lives, those outside issues are the things that take away our serenity. So being a sponsor is about trying to help my sponsees look at really what they think is going on and then try to match it with behavior that we've used in the past. They can understand how they need to move forward. And again, they make the choice. I don't make the choice. The sponsorship relationship is personal for me and for most people. I laugh with what Kay said because I have the same idea that a sponsor was forever, and it was sort of like my idea of a relationship. I was going to meet Prince Charming on the horse, and we were going to gallop off into the sunset and live happily ever after. And, of course, I only got what the horse left behind and couldn't figure out what was wrong. And so the same thing is true for a service sponsorship relationship or a sponsorship relationship. I need to do what is working for me, and you need to do what's working for you. And if either one of us need to walk away from that relationship because it's no longer healthy, that's healthy program. I can't empower you if I resent you, and you can't be empowered by me if you can't hear me.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for being here today. And we are going to, Claire is next. Please unmute yourself.
Everybody.
Hello, everyone. I'm Claire, and I'm from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And thank you for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope about sponsorship. It's a subject near and dear to my heart. I've been blessed to personally have three sponsors, and each relationship has been different for various times and circumstances in my program. Choosing a sponsor, what did I look for? My first sponsor, I was new in the program, and I was looking for someone who had wings and a halo, and so it took me a while to find that person. I was also looking for someone whose story matched mine, and at the time I was separated from my alcoholic husband, and everybody else seemed to be married or have someone in their loved one in AA. So the person I chose to be my sponsor was widowed, and at least that she'd also been divorced. So she really understood what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for service and involvement. I was looking for intense personal recovery. And as it turns out, lo and behold, besides a near proximity of our stories, she was very involved in service. I wondered why she carried a briefcase sometimes, and it turned out she was the area chair, and she had been a past delegate from our area. So it was almost by osmosis that being involved in service rubbed off on me. I wasn't looking for it, but that's what happened. She's still alive. She's 95 today. She isn't really active in Al-Anon, but after about 10 years in the program, I moved from New Mexico to New Jersey and New York, and I needed that face-to-face personal contact, and I had really felt that I had grown through my first sponsor, although, I mean, we're great friends and we're still in touch with each other, but my needs were different, and I was in a completely new environment in terms of where I was living and where I was working. And so when I was delegate, I happened to meet a member of the conference who, at the time she was a trustee, but when I asked her to be my sponsor, she was no longer a trustee. And really at that time I was going through the adult children thing. After 13 years of Al-Anon, I discovered I was an adult child of a high functioning alcoholic father. And so she really helped me with that part of my life. And we just clicked right away when we met. And her experience, again, matched mine. We really weren't discussing service at this point. Anyhow, she was a great asset, had a wonderful sense of humor. I always do. My first sponsor has a great sense of humor, too. And so we went right along there, and suddenly she passed away. But she would help me with readings and little great one-liners, which a lot of them aren't slogans, but she'd say, God works within us, without us, or he's never early, he's never late, you know, when I would be wondering how something was going to work out. Just helped me to build my confidence in myself and my judgment and growth. And my third sponsor happened to be a friend of a business associate who happened to move to Virginia Beach, and we happened to meet at a meeting, and we just clicked. But my needs with each of my three sponsors has been different, because after all, I believe we're growing and evolving, or I hope I am. And sometimes there's been a couple steps backwards, but my current relationship with my sponsor is, it's funny, it's like it's very short communication, very sort of guide me, take it, or a lot, sometimes she'll say, or not, and which puts it in a spiritual realm, you know, if I'm getting close to what do you think, or you know, kind of maybe pushing for advice. I think still pre-Al-Anon, we're looking a little bit for advice. But anyhow, I just feel very blessed to still have a sponsor. I've been in the program multiple decades, since 1977. And do I necessarily need someone who's been in the program longer than I have? No. If I felt attracted, or I just seem to kind of know that their circumstance, that I could grow with them. I like what I see, I hear, you know, that they can help me. Then I would ask them to be my sponsor. But I just feel very blessed. I really don't know how members go through the program without a sponsor. What I think in terms of being a sponsor, I've had a variety of successes. I've had some failures too. I don't know. One of them ended up in AA. That really isn't a failure, at least she knew where to go. I've had others drop out of the program, and others who've been their lifelong friends. I found it difficult to sponsor while I was working, and I would try to limit myself to one newcomer and one person who's been in the program for a while. Do I have expectations? Yes, I do have a few. I'm human, but I do think you need to be going to Al-Anon meetings. A sponsee should be going to Al-Anon meetings. I would prefer when we were going face to face, if I could go with them to a meeting, because I enjoyed that gift that my first sponsor gave me. I really want them to be reading Al-Anon literature. The daily readers to me are great for starting the day, or you know, you're having a need for a 10th step little inventory situation. That's fine, but I really prefer the How Al-Anon Works. I prefer books that put the program in sequential order with the steps, traditions, and concepts, instead of a smattering of nice thoughts or helpful thoughts for the day. I just think that's how we grow, is understanding the sequential order of the program. It's not a crash course when I'm sponsoring. I'm not going to say we're done in 36 weeks. It takes whatever it takes. And one person that I'm sponsoring now is living in active alcoholism. And she knows I've been divorced or single for a long time, but I'm not going to tell her what to do with her marriage. That's her decision. But I do try to meet with her. And of course, that's been near impossible or not possible right now, both for her health and mine. But we are working on, I usually say, you know, that these are the workbooks and the books that Al-Anon has, and I kind of give a choice of the Paths to Recovery and the Paths to Recovery workbook or the Reaching for Personal Freedom. And I really like Reaching for Personal Freedom, so I feel grateful that this particular sponsee chose Reaching for Personal Freedom. I think it really helps understanding the principles of the program and how, especially with the traditions and the steps and the concepts, how they apply in your life. There's definite challenges to being a sponsor. First of all, I think it's learning to listen and not give advice. You know, in Al-Anon, we're great fixers, and it would just be so easy to say, cut that out. Stop it. Don't do that. So it's very hard to listen and helping the member, the sponsee, develop choices to see that they have a choice in how they can respond or possibly what actions they can take and what did I do in that situation. I will, if I had that situation, I'll share. I also encourage sponsees, you know, I certainly don't have all the answers, and when I was working, I certainly wasn't available all the time. I encourage them to talk to other Al-Anon members because I do believe that is how we grow. We reach out for help. And you know, it's almost like not expecting one person to be the be-all and end-all or the fountain of information. And I enjoy going through the Reaching for Personal Freedom workbook with my sponsee. I'm growing too. I'm doing it with her. We're growing together. And just the discussions are just so insightful. But this particular sponsee has been on step one for quite a while. And just when she thinks she's ready to go on step three, it seems like the craziness in step two happens all over again. So I don't push. I would like to. I've been fortunate. A couple of my sponsees, well, two out of the most recent three have been GRs, and one sponsee was probably GR before she was really ready to be a GR. I had hoped that she would grow, but you know how it is sometimes at a meeting. Does anybody want to be GR? Does anybody want to be GR? And then she decided she was ready to be GR. She just volunteered. I don't know. But anyhow, it wasn't really in the best interest of the group. But the other person, the other sponsee, was an excellent GR, just outstanding. And both of them disappeared. And I don't chase after sponsees, you know. You know my phone number, you know, you can text, you can email me. I'm happy to meet with you on the weekends, or let's go to, if we can go to the same meeting, of course now that's a challenge, then I do. I try to do that because I think it builds a close relationship. I do encourage service though. I don't minimize it. I think it's very, very important, but I do think having to be ready. One thing I'd like to address is I was sponsoring one sponsee for about 5 years, and there was a point where continuing was enabling, and there was just no growth. I mean, I was slow on the draw, and certainly my first and second sponsors were wonderful in listening to me and my stuff, but this person was just staying stuck, and I had to have I had the courage to speak to tell her that I was ending, I had to end it, and that she really needed to find another person to sponsor her, and she was just stuck. It's hard. It wasn't easy to do. It was a new experience for me in terms of ending a sponsorship relationship, but it was in both my interests because I was starting to feel like I was going to start telling her to you know, what to do or to just stop it, or are you crazy? You know, why are you keep doing this over and over again? So I've had some successes sponsoring in the long run, and I've had, you know, it's been a mixed bag. Like I said, some people just graduate. One sponsee left after step five, and I said, wait a minute, there's six more steps. But she found her strength in her church, and that's what she's doing. So I just have to let go and let God. And the other sponsee who lives with active alcoholism, she knows I'm available, especially now that I'm retired, but she's not calling. Once in a while she'll text. But, you know, that's not working either. And so it really isn't satisfactory at this point. I just think the connections that we have through sponsorship are just so important, but being honest is very important, being positive, listening, maintaining confidential information, and just being a power of example is also what someone as a sponsor in recovery that I have to give, but also the gift of acceptance that sponsees are where they are, and after all, they can accept me. So, but I just can't imagine working my program or being an Al-Anon without being a sponsor, and I'm very grateful for the service experiences that I've had and that I try to help my sponsees acquire. It isn't perfect, it's just real, but it's just so important. It's such a gift. But it has its challenges too. But I'm just grateful for it, to give back what was been freely given to me by three wonderful sponsors. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you to our speakers for sharing. We will now close with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.